Good spot. Good morning. Well, there's no music, so I think that means I'm supposed to start. So let's have a word of prayer if you'll join me this morning in asking the Lord's blessing on our time together. Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus, and we thank you for the opportunity we have to come together as a group of believers, to pour our heart out to you, to draw ourselves into your presence, and to worship you. Lord, we pray that as we come together to worship you, that you would bless our time together, that you would minister to us your truth, your love. We thank you, Lord, for this opportunity. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, let's worship, and we'll start with Hosanna. Hosanna.
Strength to face the day. in your presence, all our fears are washed away. When we see you, we find strength face to face. In your presence, all our fears are washed away. God who saves us, worthy of all our praises. Hosanna, Hosanna, come have your way among us. We welcome you here, Lord Jesus. Hosanna, Hosanna. You are the God who saves us, worthy of all our praises. Hosanna, Hosanna, come have your way among us. We welcome you here, Lord Jesus.
Our hearts are open, nothing.
let it fall. Let it fall. Let it fall.
We welcome you, Lord.
We welcome you with praise. We welcome you with praise. Almighty God of love, be welcomed in this place. We welcome you with praise. We welcome you with praise. Almighty God of love, be welcomed in this place. Let every heart adore, let every soul awake. Almighty God of love, be welcomed in this place. We welcome you with praise. We welcome you with praise. Almighty God of love, be welcomed in this place. Be welcome in your house, Lord. Be welcome in your house.
So wonderful to have you in our life, Lord. We welcome you. We thank you, Lord. Make me break.
Call me out beyond the shore. into the ways. You make me pray. You make me pray. No fear can hinder now the love that made a way. 'Cause you make me pray.
Our bulletins out this morning and look at a couple announcements. And our very first announcement, I'm going to have Nicole come up and just share a couple things additional to what we have here and just let us know what's going on. So here you are.
Good morning. So I'm going to talk about Love Stockton. Next Saturday, we have an awesome opportunity to go out and serve our community. And I just want to invite you all to come 8:30 in the morning. We have stuff for everyone to do. We are going to be doing, those who went last year, we're going to the same place, American Legion Park. And we are going to be trimming, cleaning up the garbage. We're going to be also just talking to the homeless people out there, the teenagers that are hanging out. There's another church, the Bangkok Church, is going to join us. They have about 30 college students coming out. So we're going to just do as much cleanup as possible. So if you want to do yard work, bring any kind of yard work equipment. We are going to have a huge dumpster out there. We are also going to be, people who don't want to do labor type of work, we're going to be just walking around, passing out sodas, inviting people to our church. We have the little these. And we also have these that we can pass out. You're invited to our church. And we'll bring out our mission statements as well. And we'll have coolers you can walk around and pass out sodas and just make everyone feel loved and show Jesus' love to everyone. So I encourage you all to do that. We are going to be walking the neighborhood. Last year, we walked around and just put on people's doors these right here. And it's explaining what we're doing. So we're going to meet tomorrow night, 6 p.m. at Larry Livermore's house. So if anyone wants to join us and walk around and invite the neighborhood, we had, I think, four or five families come out last year that because of these and the signs that we put out. So see me after church, and I'll give you Larry's address, and we can meet there. I'm also ordering the Love Stockton t-shirts. Today's the last day to order them, so you need to please sign up at the back and either pay or give Carrie a check. Everyone, if you look at Jennifer, she's wearing one. Sorry, Jen, to put you on the spot. But she's got one on, and the back says Calvary Chapel Stockton with our dove. So I hope that you guys can join us. I'm sorry? No. You don't have to. Leah would like you to, though. Thank you, guys.
You know, it says something when someone takes interest in your neighborhood. You know, you live in a certain neighborhood, and you see the park kind of going downhill a little bit, and you wish somebody would do something. Then you see these people coming in from, who are these people? And they're cleaning it up. They're making it nice. And they're friendly, and they're interested in our neighborhood. And it just says something very strong without having to say, we love you because Jesus loves you. It says it right there, and they go, well, who are you? And they get good opportunity to build a bridge and good way to talk to people who are interested. But you don't have to even say a word. Just by being there and making that place better and cleaning it up, it says a whole lot. So if you would, make that something that you're going to do this Saturday, and it'd just be for a few hours, 3 or 4 hours of time, and it'd be well spent in building the kingdom of God. Next, we have the midweek study on prayer, praying life. If you're interested in that, join us on Wednesdays at 7. And then we have our prayer time on Sunday morning at 8:30. And we had a really wonderful time this morning. And maybe I could explain just briefly what we do on Sunday morning. We take a psalm out of the Bible, and we've been going through we start with Psalm 1, then we go to Psalm 2. Then after Psalm 2, we head on over to Psalm 3, and now we just did Psalm 73 this morning. So what we do is we take that psalm and just go through it briefly, read it, kind of highlight some things of what that's about, and then we take a theme that's in the psalm and have some music that highlights that theme, and it inspires us to then put words. We have a little prompt that says, saying, Lord, I worship you because, and then you just say, because I love you so much, or it doesn't have to be a whole lot. Sometimes people take a little more time and say things on their heart. And it just gives you a good way to practice praying and focusing on God. Then we do another psalm and have another prompt. Then we pray for people's needs and concerns. Then we have another song and worship the Lord through that song and end with a prayer in closing. And it really is a great way to start your Sunday morning. So I invite you to come 8:30 a.m. and we do have coffee, if that's a problem, 8:30, and get jump started there. Also, we have the mission trip to Mexico coming up this November, and so we would like you to keep that in mind, November 13th through the 19th. The cost is $150. That covers everything, and we are planning to head on down there, and there are some projects that we're going to do and some ministry that we're going to do, and it'll be a wonderful time just to bring your family, even if you can get the time off, to come down and just minister to the children there and to the mission there at Door of Faith Orphanage there. Women's breakfast coming up on the 15th, and the men's breakfast is, I think, coming up too on the second Saturday of that month. So let's have the ushers come forward and receive tithe and offering as we worship the Lord with our giving. Father, we thank you for your great love for us. We thank you, Lord, that you have made a way for us to come into your presence, to come and have a relationship with you. And it changes everything, Lord. It makes life a whole lot different, Lord. And we thank you for your many blessings that come through our relationship with you. So now we give because we're grateful. We give because you have given us so much. So, Lord, we pray you bless these gifts as we give them to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
You have won me.
You have won me. Shown me grace, you lifted my shame, drawn me with loving kindness, washed whiter than snow. You have redeemed and made me whole. Grace, you shown me grace, you lifted my shame, drawn me with loving kindness, washed whiter than snow. You have redeemed and made me whole. Jesus, you have won me. You have broken every chain with love and mercy. You have triumphed over death, and you are worthy of glory and praise. Love, you've shown me love by leaving your throne, by bleeding and dying on a cross. That wonderful cross that took all my guilt and sin away. Jesus, you have won me. You have broken every chain with love and mercy. You triumphed over death, and you are worthy of glory and praise. You have won me. You have broken every chain with love and mercy. You have triumphed over death, and you are worthy of glory and shout it out and lift up one voice in worship. Sing it out until all the earth can hear it. Jesus is alive and he saves. He rescues and saves. Shout it out and lift up one voice in worship. It out until all the earth can hear it. Jesus is alive and he saves. He rescues and saves. Jesus, you have won me. You have broken every chain with love and mercy. You have triumphed over death, and you are worthy of glory and praise. Jesus, you have won me. You
have broken every chain with love and mercy. You have triumphed over death, and you are worthy of glory and praise. Shout it out and lift up one voice in worship. Sing it out until all the earth can hear it. Jesus is alive and shout it out and lift up one voice in worship. Sing it out until all the earth can hear it. Jesus is alive and he saves. He rescues and saves.
Right. Won't we stand and take a minute to greet one another this morning? So if you would, stand and just take a minute and welcome one another to church.
Good morning, good morning.
Is everybody cool enough here this morning? Do we need to turn the air conditioning on a little bit more? All right. Whoever is the air conditioning person. Okay, there we go. The air conditioning person is now taking care of that. Because I was feeling a little warm. I don't know about you. Well, let's take a look at the scripture this morning. And we're finishing up Burden Bearers, Galatians chapter 6. And we're going to cover a few verses, but I think there's a lot there that we can look at together. And I'll tell you, I didn't know there were so many amazing things in the book of Galatians. The more I've studied this, the more it's really impacted my life. So I hope the Lord is using it to impact yours too. So let's read together. Verse 2 says, carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. If anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. Each one should test his own actions, and then he can take pride in himself without comparing himself to somebody else. For each one should carry his own load. So when it talks about carrying each other's burdens in this way, fulfill the law of Christ, we find that that theme, the law of Christ, is kind of referred to in a couple places. And I want you to, if you have your Bibles, would you look at this with me? Because the Bible says here that we are to carry each other's burdens. We are to carry each other's burdens. And there's a reason for that, and that's because this is how we follow Christ. This is the law that he has set down. And so what is this law, the law of Christ? What is this law of Christ? So let's look at a couple verses here. John chapter 13 and verses 34 and 35. And this is the command that Jesus gives. A new command I give you. Love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. By this all men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. Then in the same book here, Galatians chapter 5, verses 13 and 14, he ties this again by quoting another portion of Scripture in the Old Testament, to love your neighbor as yourself. And it says here in verse 13, you, my brothers, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. But rather, serve one another in love. The entire law is summed up in a single command. Love your neighbor as yourself. So here's the emphasis here that Paul is giving. He says, we know that the law is good. And these Galatians have been taught that the love of Christ has made a way for them to have a relationship with God. Not because of their performance, not because they follow the law, but because of what Jesus has done. But that does not mean that once you receive Christ's forgiveness through his sacrifice, that there's no need to have any change in life to be any different. He says, now our life is characterized not by following all these rules and regulations and all the ceremonial laws and what have you, but is now characterized by love. And when you love one another, as the Bible talks about in the Old Testament, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and then love your neighbor as yourself. When you do that, you will fulfill the law. So he says, this is what we need to focus on, is that not following all these rules and regulations in the Mosaic law, the dietary laws, and etc., in order to feel like you have earned a welcome with God, acceptance with God, but because you already are welcomed, because you already are loved, because you already are accepted, now you respond to God's love by loving one another. So how do you carry someone's burden? Because this kind of gives some hands and feet to this whole thing of love one another. We carry one another's burdens. So let's take a look at this. Says, carry each other's burdens. So how do you do this? How do you carry somebody else's burden? Now, first of all, what is a burden? What is a burden? We know that life has its burdens, right? It has its moments of struggle, hardship, difficulties. You can have health problems. You can have financial problems. You can have relation problems. You can have all kinds of different things that come into your life that have burden you down. And what he's saying here is that if we love one another as Jesus loved us, we will put hands and feet to this love by helping each other carry those burdens. Remember what Jesus said in Matthew 11? I think it's verse 28. He says, come unto me, all you who are heavy laden, you're burdened down, and you're weary, and I will give you rest. Well, if we're to be like Jesus, then that should be something like that should be happening, to where there's a mutual love for one another, a mutual caring for one another, a mutual lifting up each other so that life is easier with the body of Christ, and with those who are around us, we find that we are a blessing to them in a very practical way. So how do you do this? Well, the first thing that you do to carry someone's burden is you have to understand them. You have to understand them. That's the first thing you have to do. And if you're going to carry someone's burdens, you first of all, you have to understand that they have a burden. You have to understand what is burdening them, what is in their life that's burdening them. And so you have to get in their shoes, so to speak. And the word understand comes from a word meaning to stand under. So when you are carrying someone's burden, you come to a place where you can actually be in their shoes. You know what they're feeling. You know what they're going through. You know what's happening in their life that's causing this to burden their life down, and that this burden needs to be shared. Now, I'm sure that you could think of a circumstance that may be happening right now in your life that's a burden to you, that's a struggle for you, that causes you to wake up in the morning and say, I think I'll go back to bed. You know? And you don't know what to do about it. You feel isolated. A lot of times these burdens isolate us. You feel isolated. You feel alone. You feel like that this is a struggle that you are having a hard time with. And then you have someone that comes into your life, and they are able somehow to understand what you're going through. They, first of all, here's another skill that you have to have. Listening. And it's not as easy as you think. Have you ever had someone say they really want to help you, and it looks like they're listening, but they're really not. And they're really there just to give you advice and tell you how to live your life. And I don't know, how many of you have ever experienced that wonderful experience? Okay, amen. So it is a blessing for them, but not for us. See, the thing is, when you have someone in your life who really does understand, and the only way you really can tell that is that by them listening to you, and as they have listened to you, be able to communicate back to you exactly how you feel and what is going on in your life. They get it, and they're able to somehow communicate that back so that you go, you know what? They have been in my shoes. They know what I feel like. And I don't know if you've ever experienced this. How many have had a situation that was just really hard, and you just were confused, you didn't know which way to go on this, and then someone comes in and They don't do anything necessarily other than they listen to you, and then you know that they know what you're feeling, they know what you're experiencing, and they are supportive, and they're behind you. And how do you feel after having talked with them and spent some time with them? Or nobody ever had that kind of experience? Okay. How do you feel? About the same. No, you don't. Usually you feel a little better about it because someone else knows what you're going through. That you're not alone. That it's not all over. They've been in that situation. They came through. And they may not have done anything other than listen to you and communicate back to you that they understood what you were going through. And just by that, the circumstances don't change necessarily. But you feel a whole lot better. Why? Because they've carried the burden. They made the load a little lighter because they were standing with you, beside you in this whole situation, and you weren't alone. So that's the first thing. In order to carry someone's burdens, you have to be able to understand them. You have to be able to come alongside them and help carry that load by just listening and being in one with them. Now, number two, now here's a part that I think kind of we tend to pull back on this. You have to suffer with them. No amens, huh? Okay. You have to suffer with them. If you're going to bear someone's burden, you have to suffer. What? Yes. See, here's the thing. You have to let some of their burden fall on you. has to kind of somehow come off of them and a little bit of it come onto you so that you're carrying some of the weight. Can you imagine someone here? How many of you have had to move in the last couple of years? Okay, there's a few of you, all right? Now, here's the deal. You got this huge box that weighs 70 pounds, right? And you're going, you're picking it up, and oh, golly, I'm going to break my back. And you go a couple steps, and now you see the stairs, right? And you go, I need someone to help me carry this load. And someone says, hey, I'll come alongside you. Go, Roger, go. That's not helping. I'm just encouraging you. No, you're not. You're not helping at all. In order for them to help me, they're going to have to what? Carry it. Some of the load of that 75-pound package is going to have to come onto my hands and your hands. We're going to have some of it come onto me in order for me to carry the burden. There's no way you can carry a burden without carrying a burden. Some people feel like that somehow they can. They somehow can carry a burden by saying, you know, I'm praying for you and God bless you. What? Anything else? But they really don't get in your life. They don't really get involved. And they don't really have time, or they just don't have the resources, or they don't feel up to it. They don't really want to carry the burden because they don't want to carry the burden. They don't want your problems, your struggles, your burdens somehow leak onto them. And there's no way you can fulfill this commandment without having to have some of that weight come onto your life in order for you to bear their burden. So we know that Jesus was the burden bearer, that he has carried our burden, our sin burden. He's carried that weight. And so in order for us to imitate him, to be his disciples, we have to carry that weight. And if we're not willing to have any of that come on us, if we have excuses and reasons why we can't all the time, then there's going to be a part of us that's not really, that's reticent, and we're not going to be able to experience the life of Christ to a deeper level. Because God, you know, you can say, God, please use me. What does that mean? If you're saying, God, use me. Well, I was thinking about singing with Roger on the front here. That's what I was thinking about. Or I was thinking about being a speaker or to share my testimony and have everybody be blessed by it. There's a lot more to the Christian life than just being in front of people and having them applaud. The real ministry takes place behind the scenes where you're carrying one another's burdens. You help carrying their load. And then three, of course, you have to carry the burden. And we can't escape this. This is something that Paul says we are to do. It's something that Jesus has commanded us to love one another. And you can't love one another without doing something. It's not just feeling warm feelings toward somebody. You know, I really love them because they're so funny. I really love them because they're so helpful to me. Well, that's not loving one another. If we are to really love one another, we have to carry the burden of someone else. Now remember, Jesus was talking about this to some Pharisees. And they were saying, so what is the most important commandments in the law? Well, he says, well, the first one is love your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the second one is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. Now, the guy wanted an escape clause on that one. So he says, well, but who is my neighbor? Aren't we clever? Well, you know, I like the first part, loving God, but the second part, not so much. So I have a, I'm really stymied here. Who is my neighbor anyhow? And so Jesus tells the story. You remember the story, I'm sure, if you've read the Bible at any length. It was the story of the Good Samaritan. And the Samaritan was despised. He was someone who people thought of as God wouldn't want anything to do with them. They're so awful. And so Jesus particularly uses that one character as to show and clearly what is really valuable to God. Following all the rules, making sure you do all these things right, or practicing mercy, practicing love toward one another. And so he tells that story and illustrates it by someone who has been, looks like he's been mugged, and these different individuals come along past that and say, oh, I don't want to get involved here. If I stop here, I'm not going to get to my appointment. I don't really have time to stop here. You know what? This could be really messy. What if I get down here and try to help him, and I can't really be helped him? I just think this is just too much for me. I'm going to move on. There's all these kind of things that are going on in that situation. But the Samaritan, he stopped. He was inconvenienced. See, here's another thing. If you're going to carry somebody else's burden, it might be inconvenient. And I found that to be challenging to me because, you know what? I'm American. Convenience is what we're all about. Right? A good life is a convenient life, I've always said, where everything works out just as you want it. But the fact is that being a Christian, sometimes when we look at loving one another, it becomes messy. Do you know what I'm talking about when we talk about messy? It seems to leak into areas that you didn't intend, and it inconveniences you. And the plans that you had, they don't happen. And it never happens the when you have spare time or where you feel like it would be really convenient for you to do it. So you have to do it. You can't just stand on the sidelines and say somebody else will do it. You have to carry the burdens. So what will keep you from being a burden bearer? What will keep you from being a burden bearer? That's what we have in verse 3. If anyone thinks he's something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. Now that's an interesting statement. We get the part where if anyone thinks he's something. How many have ever met somebody who thinks they're something? All right? We know about that. But what is this thing when he is nothing? He deceives himself. Here Paul's kind of seems to be implying that we're all nothing. We're all nothing. Here's a couple of verses to write down. I think I have them in your notes, but just take a listen here as we go through them. In 1 Corinthians 15:9, this is what Paul says about himself. He says, "For I am the least of the apostles and do not even deserve to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God." Well, there's some humility, huh? That's something. He says, "I'm the least of all the apostles." So you can take a look at that and say, well, you know what? The man thinks that there are other apostles that are better than him, and he's kind of a latecomer, and so he's like out of the 12, he's number 12. So, oh, okay, all right. So I get that. He is an apostle, though. That's pretty elevated. I mean, not many of those, only 12, maybe 13, because one was killed, committed suicide. That's an elite group. Then he goes on and says in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 8, and he says, "Although I am less than the least of all God's people, this grace was given to me to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ." Whoa. He went down really to the bottom of the barrel here. He's the least of all God's people. So he's moved from this group of 12, being the last of the 12. Now he's going to put himself out and say, you know, of all the believers in the world, I'm at the bottom. I'm the least. Wow. And then he goes on another statement here in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 15. He says, here's a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. Okay, who is better than who's not better than Paul? See, the way Paul looked at himself, he says, basically, I'm nothing. I'm nothing. Well, I don't know if I like that. I don't know if I like that kind of way of looking at things. Now, as far as being a nothing, I think he did pretty good. I mean, if you look at his life and what he accomplished and what God did through him, there are just not many people like him in history, let alone in his own time. He accomplished and did things. God did things through him. For instance, how many people could say, in my ministry, I wrote the Bible? Not many. And yet, he would go on and say this. Now, this is kind of a confusing thing, but this is what he would do. He would do this from time to time. He'd say, you know, I want you to follow my example. Follow me as I follow Christ. Wait a second, I thought you were a nothing. And you want me to follow you. So there's something here that we got to look at. What does this really mean? What is this really about? So if you're going to serve and minister Christ and be a burden bearer, you have to think in a different way. You have to think of yourself in a different way. Thinking you are something when you are not is not the way to move forward in loving others. You have to have a gospel-based self-view. A gospel-based self-view. Now, here's what that means. Let me see if we can flesh this out a little bit. Let's go back to the book of Genesis. God created the heavens and the earth, right? There was nothing there until he created it. And then he created you and me. He made mankind. He made Adam and Eve. Now, the thing about his creation is that apart from him, the creation doesn't exist. Jesus, when he was here on earth, he says, you know what? God, the Father, has given me the ability or has granted me the authority to lay my life down and to take it up. In other words, I have life within myself. I don't need anything else around me in order to support my life. I have life within myself. I'm not dependent on anything else. But that's not true of anything else in creation. Everything else in creation is dependent on God. There's nothing that is self-sustaining. There's no one that has life within themselves. So apart from God, guess what? You're nothing. Remember, I think it was last week we talked about a philosopher, and I forgot his name, a modern philosopher, talked about there's no way to gauge someone's worth, and there's no way to gauge worth at all unless you have you know what the purpose of that thing is. And if you do not believe that there is a creator and that you are the result of that creator's creation, then probably the only other, let's just say the majority of people now believe, in our country at least, that We are a product of a random chance incident called evolution. And there is no reason behind it. There's no purpose behind it. There's no meaning behind it. It just happened. And you yourself are a random collection of chemicals and chemical processes and interreactions, and it has no purpose. It has no really overarching meaning and purpose. And therefore, as far as he's concerned, there's no way to tell what your value is because you have no purpose. There's no reason for you. And the only way you can tell if a watch is a good watch is if you know what a watch is for. You don't know. You only know what a person's valuable if you know what he was created for. So the fact is that without Christ, without God, we are nothing. But then on the other side, in yourself, you are nothing, but in Christ, you're everything. Because you are in Christ. So everything that is his becomes yours. And you share in his glory. You share his purpose. You share his life. And therefore your life has meaning. It has purpose. And you have value. So there's these two things that are at play with ourself, how we view ourselves. On the one side, we see that we are nothing, that we have no value, we have no worth. But on the other side, we have infinite worth because of God and who he is. So therefore, we don't look to other people and compare ourselves with other people to find out where we stand in the pecking order, because they're nothing too. The only way we can find our real true worth and value is through our relationship with God. And so it's all about knowing him. It's all about our relationship with him that gives us a sense of worth. Let me look at a couple things here. Do you have your Bibles? I'm so glad you came to church with Bible. If you have a phone, maybe you have it on your phone. Jeremiah chapter 9. And verse 24. Jeremiah 9, verse 24. This is what it says. But let him who boasts, boast about this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord, who exercises kindness, justice, righteousness on earth, for in these I delight, declares the Lord. Now, in other versions, it puts it this way. It says, but let him who glories, glory in this. So, in other words, there's a sense of worth that comes when we boast about, and earlier it says, you who boast, you who are glorying in your wisdom, in your wealth, in your power, whatever you find your glory. Remember we talked about glory? Another way to put that would be a word for glory is weight or value. The only way you can really judge someone's value is what does God say they're worth? And he says, don't boast in the fact that you are wiser than somebody else, or you're more powerful than somebody else, you're more wealthy than somebody else, or whatever. You're comparing yourself with someone else. Boast in this fact. Gain your worth from this, that you know me, that you have a relationship with me. Does this make sense? Okay, so what happens when you find yourself comparing yourself with somebody else and you're feeling a little, you got knocked down a couple rungs, you know? When you're with your relatives, you kind of know where you stand there, you're pretty good. But then you went and met some new people, and boy, you don't shine as bright. And you're feeling a little less than you thought. The fact is, you need to say, I don't gain my worth from that. My value comes from how God thinks of me. And guess what? I am very valuable. He made me the way I am. Okay? So, in ending the book of Romans, close to the end of the book, Paul writes this. For from him and through him and to him are all things. For all things originate with him and come from him. All things live through him, and all things center in and tend to consummate and end in him. To him be glory forever. Amen. That's a nice closing, isn't it? In other words, he's saying here that unless you have a relationship with God, you have no worth. You have no purpose. In fact, it says here, him, all things center in and tend to consummate. I looked at that consummate. You ever heard of someone who says, you know, he's a consummate professional? What does that mean, to be a consummate professional? He's a consummate athlete. He's a whatever it means the highest fulfillment of that term. So in other words, with God, in your relationship with God, you are able through him, because you belong to him, because you came from him, because he created you, you have in him the potential to be the greatest, to meet the greatest potential you have, to be all that you were intended to be. That's what God has for you. So without God, that doesn't happen. So, you don't have to compare yourself with others to have value. Notice in verse 4, here's the next one. It says, each one should test his own actions, then he can take pride in himself without comparing himself to someone else. So here's what you need to do. Compare yourself with yourself. Compare yourself with yourself. Here's the question. What is God trying to do in your life? What is God trying to do in your life? Well, one of the things we know for sure he's trying to do through all of life and all the circumstances of your life, he's trying to make you like Jesus. Anybody agree with that? All right. So, how you doing? Well, I like to compare myself with my other friend over here who's not doing so good. That's what I like. Well, that is useless. How do you make progress? You compare yourself with yourself. What God is working in you, and you focus on that. See, if you're looking at other people all the time, there's not much change going to be taking place in your life. Because what's the point of that? It's to make me feel good about me. And to say, well, I'm not as bad as that over there, and I'm better than this, and that's totally a waste of your purpose. The purpose is that God is wanting to change you to be the person he made you to be. So what is he making you to be? What is he doing in your life? What is things are he's wanting you to focus on? Because, you know, here's the thing. What God might be doing in your life and what he might be focusing on you to change and work on to become more like Jesus may not be what they're doing over here. Because this is the thing. God has given you unique things that you need to deal with. And let me back up a little bit. Here's something you might want to do. Have I grown? Here's the question to ask. Have I grown in this last month or this last year? What progress am I making? Not saying to yourself, I'm not as blank blank as they are, but I'm not like them, or I'm not this. No comparing. But what is God doing in my life today, and how am I doing? How am I changing? How am I growing? Now, here's the thing he mentions here. You can take pride in yourself and not comparing yourself to someone else. You can take pride in the fact that God is actually working in your life, that you do see some change, because you know even though you fail, even though you're not growing as fast as you would like to, that's not how you get your value. God already values you. He already paid the ultimate price for you. Your value is already set because of that relationship you have with God. So when Satan comes to condemn you, you go, well, there is no condemnation here. And I have grown, and I am growing. I am changing. I am, as I compare myself with what I was last month, there's some changes taking place that God is working in my life. And you find that's how you progress. So here's the thing. It's meaningless to compare ourselves with others. Why is that? Because we each have our own weaknesses, opportunities, and gifts. We each have our own weaknesses, opportunities, and gifts. We're all different. We're all unique. One of a kind. So what God has done is that you have a weakness, maybe many weaknesses, that you have in your life that you have to deal with, that you have to put up with, that you have to work through. Maybe you find yourself, it's very difficult for you to be patient. And here's somebody else who naturally just seems to be laid back and patient about things. They just seem to be natural with it. Now, if they're going to compare themselves with you, you lose every time. Because this is the weakness that you have to work through. Now, what is their weakness? They're lazy. They're lazy, and they don't do what they always are delaying. They're always procrastinating. They're never doing what they need to do. And then you look at yourself, so, but I get things done. See, but that's not your weakness. That's their weakness. You have different opportunities where you're placed in your life, the family you live, you came to be put in, the circumstances of your life that you are now finding yourself in. You don't live in Uganda. You don't live in New York City. You live where you are among the people that you are with. You have these opportunities now that present themselves because where you are, and the life that you have right now, and the people that you have in your life, all those things. Now, tell me, did you choose the weaknesses you have? No. Did you choose the opportunities you have? In other words, I chose to live in the United States. No, you were born here. You had nothing to do with it. Finally, one more thing. You have gifts. You have natural gifts. And supernatural gifts, too, that God gives. You have a gift. I seem to have a good memory when it comes to numbers. I've had times where I'm reading this paper, this sheet of paper. It's a letter or something. And I'm reading the whole thing, and I'm read through it and looking at it. And then someone says, so, who's that letter from? I'm sure it'll come to me. I'm sorry, I haven't a clue. Well, but I can tell you that there's some numbers there. It says $347.53 a month. And I know that this thing here, and I can tell you all the numbers on that sheet. But when it comes to names, not gifted. Okay? So we all have these little things. Some people have physical gifts. They can jump like crazy. Others, someone tied them to the ground. They're not going anywhere. You name it. There's so many different gifts that each and every person has. Some people, they know how they can just fix things.
They somehow have an innate ability to figure out what's going wrong with this thing and how to fix it. They don't even have to look at the manual. I tried to not look at the manual, and it doesn't work out that way. I just don't have that gift. In fact, I look back and forth the whole, Let me tell you about my projects. I'll tell you, it's work. God works on my patience, I'll tell you. So you have those things. You have the weaknesses, you have the opportunities, you have the gifts, but none of these things had you anything to do with. God gave them to you. He put them in your life. So therefore, you're unique. And there's no way to compare yourself with other people because you're not like other people, other than you're a human being. And God has given you a path, given you a purpose that's unique. So when it comes to comparing, remember this story? Jesus had gone to the cross, been buried, and had rose again. And he told his disciples to meet him by the Galilee Lake there. And so the guys went out there, and of course they went fishing. And after the fishing, they came and they saw Jesus on the shore. Remember that? And so Jesus was fixing breakfast for them. So they came in. Peter swam in there, you know, and then Jesus had a one-on-one with Peter. And he had this conversation, do you love me? And Peter says, you know, I have great fondness for you. Back and forth, all this. Anyhow, after that conversation, which he reaffirmed Peter and says, I have a purpose for you. And let me tell you something about your purpose. When you get older, you're not going to like where you're going. The place where you'll go, the things that you'll have to deal with, you won't like. And just about that moment, John was walking by. And what did Peter do? What about Peter? What about John? You know, what about him? What did Jesus say? Yeah, it's not fair, you know. No, he didn't say that. He says, what is that to you? What is that to you? That's not your purpose. I have a purpose for you. What I have for him, that's for him. So why be bothered about that? Do what I ask you to do. Follow me. You see what I'm saying? So there's no way really you can compare yourself with other people. It's just ridiculous. It's meaningless. Because God made you unique, and you still have a load that you're to carry. Notice that verse, it says, for each one should carry his own load. See, each of us have a load to carry. Now, we're to carry each other's burdens, but we're to carry our own load. What is that? He talking about the same thing? We're supposed to carry everything? No. There's two different words here. The burden is something that's heavy and extra weight. Load is the backpack that the soldiers would wear. So you have your own load that you have to carry. And some of these things are your own weaknesses, your own struggles, these things that you have to carry. And it's not the same as carrying a burden. God has given you a load to carry. And you can't give that load to somebody else to carry. You can give your burdens to help them, have them help you with, but you can't have them carry the load that he's given you to carry. In other words, the ministry and the mission that Peter had, he couldn't give that to John. That was his. That was his load to carry. You see, I can have car problems and my car break down. And I need to, you know, do some errands. And I need to take my, some of you take your kids to school, right? Well, that's a burden. I don't have a car. Well, someone can say, you know, I can help you with that. I can help you carry your burden until you get your car fixed and so on and so forth. I can take the kids to school this morning. And you go, thank you for that. I didn't know what I was going to do. That really helped me. Then you go, you know what? Thank you so much for taking the kids to school. Could you parent them for me, too? Sorry, that is not the load. That's your load is not his load. You see what I'm saying? There are things that God has given you to do that only you can do, that you're supposed to do. But there are other things that you can help carry the load and help with bearing the load. So when we look at burden bearing, it's something that God wants us to do, and something that's a part of being a Christian. And a part of that is being able to see that you are infinitely valuable, that you have a purpose, that you have a load that you are to bear, but part of your mission is to help carry the burdens of other people. And there you will fulfill the law of Christ, loving one another as I have loved you. Amen. Let's close in prayer. Father, we thank you for the insights that you have given us through your word this morning. And there's so much there. I'm sure there's a lot more than I can see. But I know that you will be opening our eyes as we continue to follow you and follow your purpose for our lives. As our lives unfold and the challenges we face, we see that you're working your plan in our life. And we don't have to compare ourselves to other people. We just need to look to you and say, what would you have me do? And gain our strength from the great fact that we are so loved. We are so valuable in your eyes that it gives us strength to know that you're with us, working in our lives, your purpose, your plan. We thank you, Lord, and pray these things in your name. Amen.